This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Phoebe Judge. School's back in session for the new year, but assessment of last year's grades is ongoing, and the report card for statewide performance in the 2014-15 school year is out. The Department of Public Instruction released their findings yesterday. Graduation rates are up, but fewer schools are hitting their testing targets. WUNC education reporter Rima Crace has been following the story and joins me now. Welcome back, Rima.
Hi, Phoebe.
So every school gets an A through F grade. Remind us what that means.
Right. So every school, as you said, gets an A through F grade, A, B, C, D, or F. And the whole idea behind this is essentially to see how our schools are doing. You know, similar, I was going to make an analogy to a restaurant, but I don't know if that's super fair. But just to see how they're doing, so parents can know, so legislators can know, to see how they can help them and what sorts of areas of concerns there are.
So A to F, A being you're doing fantastic,
right.
F, you've got trouble. Is that how the assessment is used?
Sort of, but you know, the thing is, so to calculate these grades, and this is controversial in of itself, 80% of that grade represents how well students do on certain tests throughout the year. So the end of grade tests, the end of course tests. So that's 80% of the grade. The other 20% of the grade is how well they do from year to year, just so you know how they're calculated. And then that equates into like a numerical number. And based on the numerical number, they either get A, B, C, D, or F.
And is this assessment done every year, every other? How often is this done?
Yeah, so last year was the first year. And the legislature introduced this a few years ago, sort of inspired by other states. There are about 15 other states that do this. It's actually inspired by presidential candidate Jeb Bush in Florida. And so these grades, this is the second year that they've come out, and these reflect the last school year. And something interesting about them, there are two things that are interesting about them, just about how they're calculated. So they're done on a 15-point scale. So if a school gets like an 86 based on, you know, their test scores and growth, that's an A. And so when they were first introduced last year, lawmakers said, okay, we'll do it on a 15-point scale this year, but next year we'll do it on a 10-point scale. But I think some folks were afraid that if they do it on that scale, some schools would see lower grades. So they decided to stick with that. And then they also added an A-plus classification. So
what does A-plus mean?
A-plus means you're getting an A, but also you don't have any major gaps in student achievement. So, you know, African-Americans and, you know, whites or Asians are on the same playing field, more or less.
And were there many A-plus schools this year?
There were 69 A-plus schools, so about 70. And there were some schools that were A's, but they didn't have enough data to be classified as an A-plus. So 69 it's not a lot.
69 A-plus schools, but what about other scores for schools this year?
So they look very similar to last year when these grades first came out. If you want to just imagine it in your head, it's sort of like a bell curve. So about 6% of schools got either A's or A-pluses, and about 6% got F's. And most of the schools got C's, so about 40%. And if you want to break it down even further, there's some interesting distinctions between charter schools and traditional public schools. Traditional public schools, charter schools were more likely to get A's, but they were also more likely to get F's.
So they were either doing very well or failing.
Yeah, they have greater percentages of A and F schools, almost double.
State Superintendent June Atkinson responded to these scores.
Yeah, in a press conference yesterday, she spoke about this and I think reiterated that they're not fully representative.
We have to see these data as a snapshot rather than a movie of the quality of our schools. So that's number one. And all of us have had bad pictures caught us at the wrong time. It doesn't show the entire picture of what a school is doing to educate children well.
So this is State Superintendent June Atkinson, and she's essentially saying that these grades are important, but they're not the be-all and end-all.
So looking at this range, looking at the amount of A's, the amount of F's, what's the biggest takeaway?
The biggest takeaway is the same takeaway that we had last year, and that's that kids from poor families are at a disadvantage. It showed that the D and F schools have the greatest, most of those D and F schools have high percentages of students from low-income backgrounds. I think there were only two schools that got Fs that didn't have more than 50% of their kids from low-income backgrounds, and they classified that by students who get free and reduced lunches. So that's not good. And lots of folks, including the state superintendent, noted that. And so I think that was the biggest takeaway. And then that most of the A and B schools, you know, students in those schools are from more affluent families, tend to be.
There were also test results for individuals. What did those grades look like?
Right. So these are the grades for the public schools, but then the actual test results that students take at the end of the year, end of the courses, came out too. And it really, I mean, it wasn't super exciting because they stayed pretty static compared to last year. Something that I found interesting was that if you looked at the reading and math scores for third through eighth graders, only a third of third through eighth graders showed that they are ready for college and careers or on track for college and careers based on their reading and math scores. So only a third. And Republican Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, he responded to those scores yesterday as well and said that a third of students is just not enough. That's not great.
Nobody should be happy with that number until that number gets closer and closer and closer to 100%. But there's a lot of great work going on across the state to achieve those goals. And as we've all said, we want to have the highest standards in the world right here in North Carolina. We want it to be tough on our kids. You know, we want to make sure that they are getting the best education they can get in the world right here in North Carolina and prepared for the work that's out there in the workplace.
So something interesting he noted was the standards. This is Republican Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. And part of the reason why the state superintendent said the scores were kind of low is because the state just implemented these new standards, Common Core, a few years ago, and they were just introduced. So she was saying it could take 5-6 years, a few years, to actually see a big difference because they have to catch up and there's some gaps in learning when you introduce a new set of standards for kids, new goals for them, which is interesting.
But one can't really argue with the fact that a third of anyone being ready for higher grades or college isn't good enough.
No. And they admitted that. That's not great.
So let's just speak specifically about the math scores. What did those look like?
So when you look at the math scores, they showed overall improvement. There were gains, slight gains made in each grade, hovers around about 50% of kids passing. So what we were talking about earlier, those are students who have showed that they've scored the highest on those exams and they showed that they're ready. These, what I'm talking about right now, is just they passed. So about 50% of students passed more or less in the math scores across the grades. And students in the earlier grades tended to score better than those in the higher grades.
Reading scores?
Reading, it's not great. There were some slips in third grade. It's slightly though. And third grade is interesting because there's a new law that says that all third graders need to be able to read before they can move on and could be potentially held back in summer camps. So, I mean, it's very, very slight. But point is that it just didn't move up. Fourth grade actually made the biggest gains in reading, but again, just by a few percentage points.
So most of these results sound static, not that great. Is there any good news?
Well, state officials yesterday did tout that graduation rate is up. It's about 85%. Just to put that relative to another number, about 10 years ago, it was about 68%. So they've made some improvement. Of course, graduation rates, you can manipulate them in different ways, but still improvement.
So we have the scores. They're not great. The grades are in. What should we look for moving forward?
So State Superintendent June Atkinson said that there are a few things she wants to see. And that is, she wants to expand pre-K. They want to change the school calendar so that kids who are at a disadvantage they're not at a loss, and that they want to expand the summer reading programs. So a couple of things, but of course, she can say that all she wants, but the legislature at the end of the day has to put funding for those things.
How is this conversation about expanding the school year now that, you know, we've just come out of it? Parents have had to, in many cases, deal with their children all summer and these big gaps, as we know, in learning. Is there a big push for kind of expanding the school year?
There has been some talk about changing the school calendar, but nothing of great momentum. But I think it's a conversation that lots of folks have had, this idea that some kids are always going to be behind when they get back to the school year because there aren't books at home. Parents aren't, you know, sending them to camps like other parents.
And what about funding these new measures? Was there any discussion of that?
Yeah, there was. It was sort of like the elephant in the room yesterday during the press conference because there's only so much they can do, the state superintendent and other school officials. But, you know, they said that resources do matter. And later, I talked with Democratic leader Larry Hall. He's a representative from Durham. And he addressed this funding piece when I asked him about his reaction to these relatively static test scores.
Did we think something different was going to happen and we're continuing to decrease education funding? We thought they were going to do better with less support, less teachers' assistance, less teachers? That's very interesting.
So it's not surprising?
Not surprising. I think based on last year's results, it would have been predicted.
But of course, some Republicans will argue that they are spending more on education, that education levels have gone up since the recession, and that they believe they're getting a better bang for their buck.
Well, we'll see what happens in the coming school year. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Phoebe.
Rima Crace is WUNC's education reporter. Just ahead, Pulitzer Prize-winning author Adam Johnson talks about his latest collection of short stories and his travels in North Korea. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.